Yesterday on the Stone Distribution Talk and Text Line, James Jacobson, a.k.a. Boone's Farm, was requesting some Creedence Clearwater Revival and Green River. We weren't able to play it because it was a hip-hop hump day, so I said to Boone's Farm, we'll line that up for you on a Throw It Up There Thursday. Our sports betting insider, John Denton, good enough to join us again here on a Throw It Up There Thursday, a Thirsty Thursday or a Friday Junior. However it is you like to work yourself through the week with mental gymnastics, John, we're glad to have you. We don't have to really worry about working ourselves through the week. This has been a busy week, dude. We've been prepping up for week one in the NFL and week two of college football. And listeners like old school John are desperate to get your thoughts and takeaways on this weekend's upcoming slate of games as well. I think they've got some friendly wagers to make themselves. What's going on with you this morning, JD?
Well, you said Boone's Farm and then you said throw up all in the same sentence.
That's true.
My flashback started hitting me. You know, when I was like 16, 17,
yes,
man,
sir.
Back in the backseat of the Caprice, man. But yeah, no, it's good. I'm glad to get the NFL season underway. Been doing a lot of research, just, you know, studying my stuff. And I think we got a good, you know, I'm sitting at 62% for the year at, 5-3 for my plays in the first two college weeks. So not doing too bad. But we'll always take a positive when we can get one, right?
Well, anything that is considered a win is a win for me. I know you said over the weekend that we had a small profit on the John Denton special, and a small profit equals profit, and that's what we like. And that is the name of the game, especially in sports betting, John. It's slow and steady. You want to chip away, yep. Chip away, chip away. And you have to look at things in a much larger perspective than just week by week, right? You need to go season by season. But no, we've been really, really good so far. The John Denton specials, they're always tasty. And they've been delivering to us some real winners. Now, you've got some college football plays, and we've got some NFL plays. I'll ask you about mine as well. But let's start off in the college football world, John, and then we'll work over into the NFL. We've got Iowa State taking on each other this weekend, and a couple of other matchups, which you've sort of identified. Let's break those down.
Sure. We'll start with Iowa heading over to Iowa State. In my region here, that's obviously the biggest game in the world to these two schools. And this is, again, I wanted to go into Tuesday. I don't think we got into had that much time, but, you know, I wanted to get into a little bit of the overreactions and the reactions that people or even sports books or odds makers make, you know, from week one to week two. And this game here and the other games I'm talking about today in the college football sense are classic tales of current lines reflecting the most recent performance and not having anything to do with matchups or maybe even trends or analysis, right? And when you look at the matchup here, right, preseason Iowa State was 6.5-point favorite. Before they even played, before they even lined up, before week one or week zero or whatever it had. So you look at last week's results. Iowa State barely snuck by FCS UNI. Now,
yeah.
If you live in the region where I at, you know UNI. That's their Super Bowl. That's the game that they chalk up every year against the FBS, in-state rival right down the street. Right. So they barely squeaked by them. This is a classic look-ahead spot for Iowa State. They had Iowa on the docket next week, coming to town, big brother. Five straights won by Iowa, right? So classic look ahead. Now, when you look at Iowa, they took down Indiana, public darling, had the left-handed quarterback, right? The next coming of Michael Vick, all this stuff that you hear about this guy. They wiped them off the planet, right? And when you look at the statistics of that game, Iowa, you know, they barely won the statistical advantage against Indiana. They had a couple pick sixes, right? So it looked inflated, right? So when Iowa State's a great football team, 8-1 last year, the Big 12. So I just think it's their time this year. And when you're going to give me something about 4.5 for Iowa State when they're, you know, looking at probably a 4.5-point or a 6.5-point true spread, 7-point true spread, I'll take Iowa State this week minus 4.5.
And you know why else? I one of the other reasons I love this play for Iowa State is because of the quarterback, Brock Purdy. Now, Brock Purdy, I kind of outlined yesterday in the early Heisman contenders, and I broke down his stats from week one. No, they weren't fantastic. But you just mentioned the rivalry in-state there with that FCS school and Iowa State is huge. And I've followed some of their basketball as well. It's a really good school is Northern Iowa. But I love Brock Purdy, and I think this kid, who started off his career with an average yards per attempt of around 10.7 and seen that come down quite a bit. I think this kid has got true next level potential. I don't know what that means, if he's a second string, a third string, or a starting quarterback, but I like that. And John, I think that when you've got a good quarterback like that that can really sling it, it gives you an opportunity to stay in games, especially against a team like Iowa, who's going to be great on defense. We know that, but they might not be able to score a ton.
Yeah, and Iowa's going to try to control the ball, you know, control the tempo with their run game and stuff. And, you know, just from a personal standpoint, I took a couple of my football players that I helped train out here. I took them up to the Iowa State camp this year and was able to watch their, you know, watch their process and watch the interactions between these players and these coaches and, you know, seeing Matt Campbell in person and actually watching Brock Purdy work the camp. I came away as I was a big fan of these guys, and not only just the way they interacted, but you know, these guys are big dudes, solid dudes. They're a good football team, and I just think, you know, that we're looking at a classic overreaction here to the week one line, and again that plays into the other one here, Georgia Southern at Florida Atlantic. No one's probably rushing to the betting window going, oh, I need to bet this game here, but. What I do is after the week one, I look for stat anomalies, right? What sticks out from a statistical standpoint for me that I can look at and maybe gain an advantage from? But when you look at what happened in these two teams the week before, Florida Atlantic allowed 400 yards rushing. I think it was like 430-something yards rushing to Florida, right? Not your typical rushing school, right? But now they have 6 days to turn around and prepare for Georgia Southern triple option, right, which – me understanding how UNLV played BYU 1 year and the next week went into Air Force and got lambasted 52-3, right? I understand that it takes a toll on the body, the mind, to reset, you know, what the blocking schemes are on defense and offense. It takes an entire off-season to prepare for one of these games. And I'm sure that they probably had some sort of, you know, insertion periods in their practice where they worked on the triple option and stuff to get, but 6 days to game plan and prepare a team, it's too much for me. And when you look at the results from last week, Georgia Southern was a 25-point favorite. They won by single digits, barely squeaked by. FAU was 23-point underdogs. They squeaked in and got the backdoor cover. So when you look at 1-0 against the spread, 0-1 against the spread, that is a classic reflection of the line movement for this week. I'll take Georgia Southern +7.5 on the road at Florida Atlantic as well.
I love that. I've got covers.com is still showing it at +7. Can I mark you down for +7? Because that gives you a little bit.
You can mark it.
Okay, I will mark you down +7 because I'm looking at covers.com. 69%.
And Dave, this is the one where I'll play a unit on this, right? I'll play my standard 110 to win 100 unit on this. But I'll also, so from that 110, I might actually only play 80, but then I'll actually sprinkle 30 on the money line.
That's a great idea.
Classic live dog situation right here where FAU is not a world beater by any means, and they probably are a better team on paper. But when you look at the situational matchup of having to prepare for this triple option coming downhill, and then you just gave up 400 yards rushing, I think Florida's still running on their defense, and it's 5 days after. So. I'll take that 7 all day.
Yeah, I really like that one. I really do. And I'm even seeing the split of money coming in here, 69% of it coming in on FAU, which means the public is all over FAU, which is why this line is blowing up there. John Denton is our sports betting insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Johnny Utah. That's actually how some of our listeners now have referred to you, as Johnny Utah. So this thing's catching on. I like that. Catchy Twitter handle. Wish I would have thought of something better, too. All right, so what else we got here for college football? Then we'll jump into the NFL.
Yeah, the last one I'm playing is Pittsburgh at Tennessee. Now, if the listeners remember, last week I was on the Tennessee Bowling Green under, right? I just didn't think, there was going to be 60-something points in that game. But when I look at Pitt, I look at a team that is senior heavy. They've got another quarterback that is a senior. I think his name's Kevin Pickett. And he's got 8 wins on the road as the Pittsburgh starting quarterback. And when you look at Tennessee, lost 11 starters in the offseason to transfer. I just don't think Heupel's been able to get that offense to where it needs to be. And when you score 35 points only against Bowling Green, arguably one of the worst college programs out there, Bowling Green had receivers running wide open downfield. So I just think Pitt, giving up a small spread, 3.5 on the road, is the play in this game as well.
So Tennessee is a team here, John, that was really talked about in the offseason as one of those up-and-comers in the SEC. I couldn't figure it out. Did you ever hear or have you ever investigated as to why we were getting so much preseason hype about Tennessee? I don't follow, and I'll make this admission, I don't follow the SEC nearly as close as some do, but why do you think that was, Tennessee getting so much preseason love?
I think it's because they ranked 111th in the country the last 3 seasons combined in the offensive rank. So there's nowhere to come up but up, right? So
that's
I think
a good
Tennessee
point.
Is always, Tennessee's going to be on the rise. It was just somebody's hot take, probably. because I didn't see it, because they lost 11 starters. You got guys in there that are playing offense and defense that are would be twos potentially in the real season if those starters had stayed. So
yeah,
you know, they're essentially playing with some backups in some positions of importance. So to me, you know, I'll take Pitt. Narduzzi, head coach that is a grinder, you know, that's got that, you know, that Pittsburgh, that Pennsylvania type blood. And, you know, I think they just go in and grind this one out. They beat them by at least two touchdowns.
Wow, I like that one. So college football recap, we're taking Iowa State plus 4.5 versus Iowa. We're going to take Georgia Southern plus 7 at FAU and Pittsburgh minus 3.5 at Tennessee. Now to the NFL. John, tonight's kickoff sees the Dallas Cowboys go to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers. I've taken this game months ago. When Tampa Bay opened up, they were 6.5-point favorites. I gobbled that up right away because I knew for a fact Dallas was going to be a hot mess. And after watching the Hard Knocks debacle on HBO, I've come away even more assured Dallas is going to have to fire Mike McCarthy in season. They'll give the team over to either Dan Quinn or John Fossil, my friend who's the special teams coordinator. And Dak Prescott will probably play 8 games before he loses another limb. This game versus Tampa Bay is a bloodbath, and it's got bloodbath written all over it. I don't know if we're going to tackle this one. If so, are you going to make a play, or did you already make it on tonight's game?
Oh, yeah, I'm like you. I think you can even go back into our archives that I've been on your show, and I think it was a couple weeks ago. I said I played – we were talking about week one lines, and I said I played Tampa Bay already 6.5. I think they were actually opened at 6. I played them at 6.5, and I even said that this game's going to get to a 9.5 spread, so bet it early, and I think we both did that. But, yeah, I've already played them. You know, the other one that I'm playing this week is the Washington football team, and I'm taking those guys plus one or pick them, or I'll even take them at a minus one token at home. I just think it's a public fade of the Chargers for me. I'm a huge Charger fan. I love Justin Herbert. But you know, and it takes a lot for me to go against something like this. But I just think from a situational standpoint, week one, East Coast travel, early game, Washington is an improved football team. Again, had they had a quarterback last year, I really think they would have got maybe even put a bigger scare into Tampa Bay, or maybe not even been in that Tampa Bay game because of different seating. But I like Washington plus one or a pick 'em this week at home against the Chargers.
Yeah, that's not a bad play at all. And I've got Washington winning this game. I've done my whole season win total projections. I've got Washington winning that game, but I like them, like you say, plus that 1 point. There is going to be an overreaction to the Chargers because Justin Herbert is going to be in the running for MVP this season if the Chargers have a decent season. That's what it looks like to me. But Washington is a team, and I've said this morning, that I really and truly think is going to win, and it won't even be that close. The NFC East, Ron Rivera is by far the best coach in that division. Ryan Fitzpatrick is probably the most capable quarterback with Dak Prescott. His injury is still very concerning to me. And that defensive line, if you look at the defensive line of the Washington football team, they have got four first rounders on that defensive line, including the kid from Ohio State, Chase Young, who got drafted number 2 overall. That is a really, really tough defense, and I agree with you. This Washington team, plus a point at home as a home dog, this is a great spot.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, the other game that I'm playing is the New England hosting Miami. And I was on this a couple weeks ago. I've been doing some statistical breakdowns.
Okay.
What we call in my business world, we call data aggregation.
Okay.
So that's what I do for a living. So people know I don't sit here and bet sports all day. I actually have a real job. It's called data aggregation is what I sell.
There you go.
So there's a couple systems here that come into play. The reason why I'm playing New England minus 3.
Okay.
So when I look back at since 2005, there was a data set that I found that said teams at or above 500 the previous year. So 7 wins if you had a tie, or 8 wins if you went 8-8, right? If they're in a road underdog situation, right? So they're a good team coming in week one as a road underdog, 39% against the spread. Terrible, right? So they broke it down even further for us and said if they're a road underdog that is 6.5 points or less, they clip at 34.9% against the spread. There's three teams that fall into that statistical analysis: Arizona, Cleveland, and Miami. Okay, so Miami falls into that 6.5 point or less dog.
Yeah.
They're clipping at 35% against the spread.
Wow.
Now, the second data set that I did goes back to the last 6 years in this same data set, where if you bet on teams with a worse record than their opponent in week one, right? So last year, New England had a worse record than Miami, and they are now favorites of -3 or more. That's hitting 80% the last 6 years.
So, John, this really upsets me because I picked the Miami Dolphins to win week one, and now my whole season win total projections are going to be ruined. So you've got to take the Patriots -3. I mean, it's obvious.
And I combine, and again, I don't put all my chips into the data basket, right? I take a look at statistical trends. Usually Miami has a hard time coming into Foxborough and playing. And, you know, again, I think they rally around Mac Jones early. I really do. I really think that Bill Belichick has a game plan that's going to be conservative. But again, we saw him slice and dice folks up in the preseason. And I wouldn't be surprised for him to have a little chip on his shoulder to say, hey, Tua, you started over a couple years, but guess what? I'm gonna win when the money's on the line. And you give me 80% clip rate, you give me somebody another 35% against rate, I'm taking New England -3. That's going to be my big play. I might even put 2 units on it this weekend.
I like it. This is going to be all contained in the John Denton special, the Rockies Daily Play Sports Betting column on our website, WKTYSports.com, about 1 o'clock this afternoon. John, before I let you off the hook, because I've got to get to our newsman, Brad Williams, filling in for Scott Robert Shaw. I will let you know what I am going to be playing this weekend. I've already taken Tampa Bay we talked about many, many weeks ago, many months ago, at -6.5. I'd feel comfortable playing them at -7.5, too. I'm going to take Buffalo -6.5 hosting Pittsburgh. I don't believe in Pittsburgh this season, not yet. I want to see what they can do. I like Buffalo at home. I like the Carolina Panthers at home -4.5. At least that's where I took them against the New York Jets, who I think will have some severe struggles this year. And finally, I love the Las Vegas Raiders opening up at home at Allegiant Stadium +4.5 points. That's a game that you and I had circled a few weeks ago as well. So I'll go ahead and throw those bad boys in there with the John Denton special. Again, if you just tuned in now, John's got 3 plays in college football: Iowa State +4.5, Georgia Southern
-4.5.
Excuse me. We got Georgia Southern +7 and Pittsburgh -3.5 on the road at Tennessee. Now in the NFL, we've got Washington +1 at home. It's also a pick 'em in some spots, and the Patriots -3 with that good information, John. I'm going to have to include the audio of today's conversation in our article because I don't know if I'll be able to recap all of this as expertly as you have just done, being that you're in data aggregation and all. But that's why we have that's why we've got the tools at our disposal, like our website and our articles.
That's right. That's right. We got email. I'll send you the email. I'll break it down for you.
Well, that would be kind of you. That's even better. Yeah. I love it.
That way you can aggregate my data right to your feed.
It almost sounds like a dirty word. We're saying, oh, I aggregate your data. You know, don't you worry about that. All right, big guy. Well, listen, have a great rest of your Thursday. Appreciate you as always. We'll be tweeting. We'll be texting. We'll be going back and forth through the weekend. And next week, we'll have you back. We'll break down all of what we saw in the first weekend of NFL football and the second weekend of college football.
I look forward to it, Dave. You guys have a good weekend. Let's make that money.
Let's go get that money, and you're always on the money. John Denton, our sports betting insider, on Twitter @JohnnyUtah, JONNY_Utah.